Praise God. Praise God. God's so good. He's so good. Hallelujah. Mark 4:35. I know it's been a long week. Hallelujah. It's 2020, so one day can be long. Been a long week. But happy are you which endure, right? Thank God we have something to endure with. When you have it, say praise the Lord. Mark chapter 4, beginning of verse 35. In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose an unexpected storm. A great one. An unforecasted one. And the waves beat into the ship. So it was a merciless storm. So that it was now full, filled with water. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, as he was, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So much to say here tonight. Praise God. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? You might would have expected some form of condolence or sympathy, or everything's going to be all right, guys. Instead, he's asking questions after they were just about fearful for their life. I mean, not just, well, I'm just having a bad day, Lord. No, they were about to go under during a great storm. They were about to be not just shipwrecked, but meeting Davy Jones. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the unexpected storm obeys him. Would you just love the Lord a moment and give God some praise and ask him to help you? Hallelujah. God, we love you. God, we praise you. We thank you. We are fearfully, we are wonderfully made. Praise God. Bless, Lord. Bless just a few minutes of time here in Jesus' name. Help us, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. He's so good. He's just so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The unexpected storm. Just want to talk to you just for a few minutes tonight. There are several little things in this passage. You can never exhaust the Word of God. It'll exhaust you, though. You can never, in one lifetime, glean every single thing. I believe, as you could agree as well, that in our lifetime, we may never see everything in just one passage that we could see. But as we live life, and as we walk in this world, it's sometimes the growth and the experiences of new things in life that highlight something different from the same passage that we didn't see a year ago because we weren't where we are now a year ago. And oftentimes there's a reason why messages get repeated even in the same year from the pulpit. Because the Lord knows, and there are new things on the horizon, new experiences, new awarenesses, and we just need a good reminder of things at a moment in our life when we're ready for it. He has just done feeding the multitudes, and the same day, when the even was come, he says, let's take a trip. Let's pass over the Sea of Galilee. Let's go to the other side of the Galilee. Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was about 12 miles long, 7 miles across in its widest part. So from where they were estimated and where they were going, it was roughly 3.5 miles out to the midst of the sea. So somewhere and in this particular area, again, historically, there's known to come gale force, hurricane-type weather down from the mountains of Galilee. And this is probably, I'm not saying it is because obviously we weren't there, just some of the things I've looked up over the years because I wanted to just find out, you know, where the winds come from. Sometimes we can't always find out, though. We can try to figure out geographically where their storm came from, but that's just guesswork. It was known to happen, though, historically, that these types of storms coming from this particular area can cause 10-foot waves on the other side of the sea. So you can understand the type of jeopardy they might have been in and the reason why they probably weren't in the brightest of spirits when they came to wake him up. Just like some of us are not in the brightest of spirits sometimes when we go to call on God in prayer. Some of our prayers, if anyone could hear what happens in the closet sometimes, might sound quite hysterical. Praise God, but aren't you glad for a God who's not caught by surprise? We might be caught on, you know, by an unexpected storm, but he isn't. So we're glad that we can go to him. Amen? Praise the Lord. So physically speaking, this is the potential of what was happening, and it's happened more than once to him, just like things happen more than once to us. And isn't it amazing? He always shows that he is who he is, whether he's walking on the sea or is he in the bottom of your boat. That he can still take care of your storm. Praise God. I'm so glad about that. Hallelujah. He can calm the storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad. And we all are sailing through life with the master on board. We just have to be reminded of it sometimes. Sometimes the storm reminds us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just so, as it was said here tonight in various ways, just so in just in case we forget. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are reminded of who's on board and why he's on board, and why we wanted him on board, and why we need him on board. Praise the Lord. Our soul doesn't always need every little thing in life that we say, yes, is so important. But what our soul does need to say is, my soul pants for God. My soul needs God. Amen. And if I need anything in my boat, I need God in my boat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes the unexpected storm just reveals to us he's still there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He hasn't gone anywhere. Reminds us that he's still there. You should go visit him once in a while. He might not have fallen asleep. I'm just saying. Praise the Lord. I'm not totally sure. I have a few thoughts on this verse 36 as to why. It's highlighting to me. And while in prayer, one thing kind of reminded me of this concerning Brother Rutledge, and I'll bring this up, and we all can say yay to this because we've experienced this. But they took him even as he was. And they kind of, maybe for the first time, I've stopped and said, why does it say that? I mean, obviously he is. I think they all kind of got in the boat as they were. So why is it highlighting? They took him even as he was. Because it seems to indicate that there was no preparation. No, we'll leave in an hour. I got to go check the weather. Make sure we can leave. they couldn't, you know, open up their app and say, yeah, well, wait a minute, there's some wind coming. We'll wait a while. There's some storms in life that are just unexpected. Have you ever slid on the ice in your car? Unexpected? We've never expect that. We know it's there. We know because of the elements that we're driving and the potential's there. But usually when our car goes out of control because of something unexpected, it's because we could not forecast. How many times have you ever given Pastor a call at 3 in the morning and he was in spirit the same as he was 3 in the afternoon? You could always find him even as he was, even if his teeth was out. Amen. Just a little thought that Jesus is who he is. And they took him as he is. You want to make it through the storm, you got to take him as he is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you'll enjoy everything about who he is and as he is. We don't need to try to go through life and those unexpected storms with an edited version of Christ. We definitely don't need a false Christ on board. We're going to go down. We need the Christ, the Son of the Living God, on board. We need him even as he is on board. Praise God. It might seem insignificant to some, but when storm time comes and you don't know what to do, amen, this one, even as he was, knows exactly what to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The scripture teaches in Isaiah 53 that there was no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. Amen. There was nothing about that outward appearance that was of beauty. That's the way the scripture reads that. And it also makes you ask a question why. It's not that the Lord, in bringing the Son of Man into this world, wanted to make him the ugly duckling. You know what I'm saying? It's an expression. Praise God. That just puts seemingly on what you can see. No emphasis. Nothing that we should desire. I mean, how many times... And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because I know the days of his flesh are no longer, okay? They served its purpose. He's been glorified, and we're a part of his body. He's spirit. Praise God. Okay, he's not flesh. He's still one God. He was one God when he was in the form of a man. He's one God when the man's not there anymore. Amen. We understand that. So I'm not here to say or to belittle anything by what I'm here to say. I'm just saying he may not look like much. It may not feel like much. Maybe that's the better way to say it. This whole apostolic experience, when you are in an unexpected storm, it may not feel like much. It may not look like much. It may not seem like much. But I tell you, as it is, when it feels vulnerable, when it feels like you're in jeopardy, when it feels like Acts 2:38 cannot save you, it seems like everything that is called God has gone to sleep in your life, and it feels like this great storm is just beating the mess out of you. We are not exempt from feeling the beating. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But what you've got inside, amen, is not, amen, as it appears. Praise God. There's plenty of power on that pillow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And what's on the pillow, amen, is not being caught off guard by the unexpected storm, no matter how great it is. Hallelujah. 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 And it brings kind of a little depth to, I am persuaded, right? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Emphasis on the first part of that verse for a change. I know whom I have believed. Praise God. Sometimes you're not going to feel the church. You're not going to feel the experience. You're not going to feel the jubilee. Amen. And when unexpected things come upon us, we don't always feel. if you will.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. But it's not about the feelings. It's about whether or not you're persuaded in whom you know. I know whom I have believed. And that's why I'm going to go wake him up. Hallelujah. I'm not going to sit here at the other side of the boat and bite my nails and just cry in my milk, praise God, and just feel like it's all over and might as well stay home from church tonight. Why pray again? No. No, when you know whom you have believed, even though the storm is mercilessly beating on you and filling you up and making you feel like you're through. What we know can rescue us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord if you will. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. So I suppose if you get anything out of this tonight, I'm almost through, but if you get anything out of this message tonight, try to get at least this, that sometimes the great storms come to show you your need for God. Even now, it doesn't matter how baptized in Jesus' name you are, how Holy Ghost filled you are, amen, how much you can tell it, I've repented and I've done what Jesus said to do and I'm doing all the right stuff. Sometimes the storm just kind of, I guarantee they were tossed around a little bit. They were definitely frantic. They were trying to do everything possible, praise God, to stay alive. I mean, sometimes the storms of life just kind of shake us up, stir us up when we fail to stir ourselves up. I'm not saying God's the cause of all the storms. I'm just here to say sometimes storms, especially great storms, just kind of bounce us around a little bit. Praise God. Because sometimes we just need bouncing around. And Jesus knows how to bounce us around. But when you're being bounced around, please understand he hasn't jumped ship on you. He's there being bounced around too. He said, I'm right here, even as I am. Hallelujah. In other words, I'm prepared even if I don't look prepared. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great. I didn't need to look at my radar app, praise God, to figure out something was coming. Amen. Even as I am is good enough for what you go through. Praise the Lord. Just thank God for people who are just as they were before. I know it's a simple little thought. And I'm not here to overdo it. Amen. But the one thing that's why I say tonight when the saints come gathering in, it's that even as you were the last service, you're still here. Praise the Lord. It's that consistency. It's that continual baptism. It's that walk with God that's real. It's knowing that if I bump into you and you're not expecting to see me. Amen. I don't expect anyone to put the joint away, the can of beer away, or this or that away. I know I can expect Jesus. And I can expect to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, why not? Everyone expects the preacher to be this way. Hallelujah. Hey, sometimes the preacher's in a great storm too. It's not all about you. I don't say that rudely. It's just kind of like, you know, the preachers, you know, 85 halos. Never has a bad day. Yeah, sometimes the preacher has more than you do before you get here. Sometimes he has multiple bad days in a day. And then some church people can call with their bad day. And then I'm not complaining. I'm just making a point. And just remember the previous message from however long ago that the Lord reminded me of. You know, preachers are people too. All right, let me try to move on because I promised to be early whenever. I'll be done whenever. Praise God. I'm not giving you a time, but I'm still within 10 or so minutes here. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was in the ship. Even as he was. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm. Not this little windstorm and, you know, I mean, just grapes on. We kind of had one of those a few nights ago, visiting the family in Mystic, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, beating up against the house. My little niece was going, getting all scared and jumping in our lap, and because the wind was hitting 40 miles an hour and blowing the rain against the house, shaking it. Then finally lost power for a while. Great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship. Praise God. So that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. Listen to what they say. Master, carest thou not that we perish? I mean, we can get comical with this one because obviously he cares. If he didn't care, he would have just, I guess, not gone. You guys can go, no, he's there. But listen to what they're saying, because it's not just about, it's not about you only. Now, some of us have to learn to look past the end of our nose and realize there are other little ships out there. Master, carest thou not that we perish? They had to have known the other little boats were there. It's not like it was a huge, huge ocean. And we do have the recording that when he left, others tried to follow him when they found out he had gone because they wanted more bread. But nevertheless, they were still there. How we deal with a storm can determine how others deal with the storm. Praise the Lord. Especially when you are a leader, when you are an example, when you represent, look, and you don't have to be a preacher to be a leader and an example. When you represent the truth, just think about life itself. And this is not a condemnation thing. It's just something to think about. How you cope with stuff can affect other people. Your attitude can affect other people. How you go about trying to deal with the storm can affect other people. Maybe this kind of can bring a little light to what Jesus said in verse 40, because he's not talking to the other little ships. He's talking to the ones in his ship. Not that they're not important, and as a church, I'm saying he's in everyone's ship, you understand. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. But he's talking to really that close-knit leaders, right? The examples, the ones that would go in, preach the gospel to every creature that people would look at and see. Asking him, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? If you have no faith, what are the other little ships going to do? Amen. It's not that we should have preacher religion, but we are examples. Amen. We can personify. We can, it's not the right word, but we can give off, if you will, something that can influence somebody else. Amen. So how do we deal with the storm? What do we do? What's our attitude like? Praise God. When the unexpected shows up. This is something we don't know. We can't forecast. We can't foresee. We're not informed of it. He didn't say, let's pass over and along the way there's going to be some rough weather, so get yourself ready for it. You probably should bring some buckets. No warning. Let's go. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I want to do something for God. All right, let's get in the boat. Where are you going with Jesus? Something wonderful's going to happen. You go right into a great storm. Isn't that amazing? This isn't what I signed up for. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, while the great storm of wind is happening, it's a little late. Because you're in. You're signed up. Praise God. All right, let me bring this to a close. The unexpected storm that can bring things into your life or cause life to get out of control. Because that's the other side of the coin here. To an unexpected storm that caused them to lose their control. What a message. And maybe that's the whole purpose of some things in life, is so that you will lose control. And remember who's in control. Even as He is. Praise God. Just because you feel out of control doesn't mean God's out of control. Hallelujah. He's Himself no matter where He is. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? I mean, even in Gethsemane, when they came to take Him, after Peter wakes up out of his little nap and cuts off Malchus's ear, even then, Jesus was in control, picks the guy's ear back up and puts it on and heals him. So, the moment didn't change Him from being the healer. Just like you and I's moments don't change Him from being who He is. Our Savior, our God, our Deliverer, our Teacher, our Counselor. Amen? The Mighty One. Everything that He is, He still is. It's us who act out of sorts, that when the great storm, the great trouble comes our way, we pull out our sword and we strike. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. Thank you, Jesus. And they awaked Him, and we read it so nicely in church. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't mind being on the boat for maybe about 60 seconds just to see the intensity of how they woke Him. And then, like, you know, get me off the boat. But you know what I mean. I think we can read into it enough to imagine the hysteria feeling. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And finally tonight He arose and He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. Now I just want you to picture this, because Hollywood can ruin it. And sometimes that's our image in our head, is, you know, this dignified, you know, so-so, put your hands the right way. When there's a storm, your hands aren't the right way at all. Your mind is not the right way at all. Your prayers don't even sound the right way at all, right? Jesus is all right, but, you know, there's nothing dignified about a storm. Praise God. Especially a great storm that's beating on you. Have you ever had life beat on you? Have you ever had your thoughts beat on you? Circumstances just beat on you. No mercy whatsoever. It didn't care that Jesus was in the boat. Master of the storm, in the boat, and the storm went after Him. And beat that ship where Jesus was. You would think the wind would know the one who made it and say, let's avoid this boat. Let's get the other little ships. Praise God. Not so. He was in the boat too, and it was beating on Him too. It was beating on the same boat. It was filling up with water. The same boat He was in was filling up with water. He was in jeopardy too. If you look at it from the storms standpoint. But when you look at it from God's standpoint, really the storm was in jeopardy. I like seeing things through God's eyes, don't you? Praise the Lord. And that's really what happens, Brother Bradley, when we go into the prayer room and we're in jeopardy and we're saying, don't you care? Don't you understand what's happening? I didn't see this coming. I didn't expect this at all. You gave me no warning. You didn't, you know, wake me up this morning and go, it made me feel like I needed my backpack today. Or a bucket. Hallelujah. Let's all stand so I'll tell the truth. Thank you, Jesus. He shouldn't have to. Look, sometimes we have no opportunity to prepare. To pre-plan. To take thought. We don't know. I mean, we don't know one day from the next. But the best thing we can do is pray, seek His face. Because realistically, prayer and that Word of God that we need to live by, that most important thing, if we have that and it's being nurtured, it knows what to do. and at least in trust and in persuasion and in knowledge, will know who to turn to. I don't know how long they were dealing with the storm before they finally went back there and woke him up. Sometimes it takes us a long time to get to Jesus because we're trying to work on this great beating storm ourselves. And we're trying to figure out how to do this. It's vain for you to sit up late, right? To eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Well, is he demonstrating everything's going to be all right? Except the Lord build the house, the labor vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. You are not being left unattended to even when the great storm comes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, mighty God, hey. Oh, go ahead, worship him a moment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Two things I'll finish with is, number one, what were they really waking him up for? What were they thinking? Were they thinking he could do something? Their response to when he did it would say no. That they were not expecting. I mean, what were they expecting him to do? I mean, in and of himself, if they didn't comprehend the fact that he had the power to do something about the storm. I mean, I know he can feed 5,000 people, women and children included. But this. So I don't know their thinking. If their thinking wasn't as fruitful as after the day of Pentecost, where that wouldn't have been a problem in thought. But there were things yet to be revealed and for their understanding to be opened. So it wasn't quite there. So I'm asking, what were they trying to stir him up to do? If they're having a hard time, one more body having a hard time isn't going to change anything. It just makes you feel good that you're not going to be the only one who dies. I don't mean to overthink this. I'm just trying to put myself there, put us there with them in the boat, and think, what was in your mind that caused you to go with that thought and to wake him and say, don't you care that we perish? Obviously, they're saying, do something. But there are times when we go to the Lord and we're saying, do something. But we don't know what we're trying to ask him to do. I mean, how do you ask for stuff when you're in the midst of something unexpected? You can't predict it. You don't know what to ask for other than get me out of it. And sometimes we're going in such a, I don't know if demeanor is the right word, but in such a state of mind and body and that we're not really, in a sense, expecting him to do anything. It's really just a cry. It's a reaction to the great beating storm. I feel like doing the baby cry again. You get it though, right? That's our reaction, Brother Tim. It's a reaction to, it's really not a request. It's just, wah, I don't like this. Don't you care? That's what that says. Don't you care? I mean, look at you. Look at us. And we go to church and somebody reads, isn't God good? And you're there. I'm not good, so why should he be good? I'm not doing well, so why should he be all happy, clappy, and relaxed, and acting like nothing's wrong. Now, we may never think that, but emotionally, sometimes we say it. I'm just saying that sometimes our reaction. So we're not really there in prayer to ask for anything. We're just there to go, wah! Because we've been beat. Finally, tonight, our prayer and our breakthrough in prayer, like we just did a moment ago, we're going to do one more time, is our way of yielding to, and in sometimes in the midst of our worship, in the great storm that's beating against us, when we break through, we yield ourselves to God. We get past that, don't you even care? Sometimes that worship and that praise and that surrender is peace be still. In other words, that water, in other words, he's gotten off the pillow. And you're yielding yourself to the answer, even though it may be really bad. The scripture says when he woke up, it didn't say the storm stopped. They woke him up while it was still going on. And you might be worshiping and praising God and crying out and just being blessed by the Holy Ghost while the storm's still going on. Doesn't mean it's stopped quite yet, but in the midst of your prayer, and in the midst of that, whoa, praise God, we've gotten past the hysteria and the physical, human, mental, emotional reaction to what you're going through, all of a sudden you feel that peace be still, and that rebuke to the storm rise within you. And sometimes your prayer is the Lord rebuking the great storm. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Let's love him. Go ahead. Praise him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, oh praise God, oh praise God, oh praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's so good. He's so good. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Sister Eric, you feel like coming and playing because he lives? While we close, thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to be dressed right for a miracle. You don't even have to be prepared for one to receive one. Even as he was. Let's sing this song. And I welcome you to pray and call on the Lord and just acknowledge because he lives. We're going to reach the other side. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Because he lives, I give thanks to the Lord. Because he lives, for fear is
Take another look at Acts 2:38. The old time message is still what it takes to go sweeping through the pearly gate. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Don't wait, don't hesitate. Take another look at Acts 2:38. Take another look at Acts 2:38.
Take another look, take another look.
The old time message is still what it takes to go with me to the pearly gate. Repent and be baptized.
We're on.